Our text for this morning is so familiar that most people here could probably write it out with considerable detail at the mere hearing of some of the persons involved. Those persons, in addition to the Lord Jesus, were the sisters Mary and Martha. At the mere hearing of the names Mary and Martha, in the minds of most of us, a rather clear picture comes to mind of certain events and things that took place on an important day. It's easy to recall and envision the setting, the situation, and some of the things that were said. Of course, in this familiar setting, one of the two sisters actually said absolutely nothing. And yet, she is the one who ended up making the bigger point. Now it came to pass, Luke tells us, as they went, that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was concerned about serving and came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her that she should help me." Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." So which of the two sisters made the bigger point? Martha clearly is the one who said more, but Mary is the one who, through her actions, communicated something that was most important. And what was that? But that when we face certain choices, God's word is the choicest. Mary demonstrated that listening to Jesus is far more important than talking or walking or cleaning or serving, ... And why was she more anxious to listen than to do other things? Well, when do we listen? What is it that perks up our ears and causes us to pay attention? Well, who, by way of example, is going to ignore the television newscaster who interrupts the program to say something incredible has just happened? What convicted criminal is going to turn off or turn away from the lawyer who steps into his cell and says, "I know how to get you out of this"? What terminally ill patient is going to turn a deaf ear to the doctor who says, "A cure has been discovered for your ailment"? What poor individual is going to turn away from the millionaire who walks up and says, "I'd like to make you my primary heir"? What embattled soldier is going to walk away from the informant who says, "I know what your enemy's battle plans are"? If in such situations we would listen intently to human reporters, human lawyers, human doctors, human informants, human giver of gifts, doesn't it make sense to listen even more intently to Jesus, who is the impeccable reporter, the unbeatable lawyer, the perfect doctor, the all-knowing informant, and the giver of priceless gifts? Mary thought so. She recognized Jesus for what he is, the one who can tell us not also what has really happened in the past, what is going on in the present, but even what's going to happen in the future. She recognized him to be the public defender who alone can justify us before God himself. She knew him to be the powerful physician who is capable of healing not only physical ailments, but also spiritual inadequacies. She understood that he is the omniscient leader who knows exactly the tactical plots and plannings of our arch enemy, the devil. And she saw him to be the possessor of all things who gives to people not only temporary blessings, but eternal treasures. Mary knew that the kind of information which Jesus had to offer was information that neither she nor anyone else could live without. Had she chosen not to listen, she would have lost out. The freedom, the joy, the life, the liberty, the wealth, the health. But she did listen, and she got it. "One thing is needful," Jesus said, "and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." You know where this is going, of course. You know how this account directs us all to assess the extent to which we are interested in hearing God's word. Now, as we make that assessment and as we recognize that we have failed to focus on God's word in Mary-like fashion, we sometimes try to cushion our guilt, saying perhaps things like, yeah, well, if Jesus were visibly present here and I could see him, then I would be more attentive to his word. But would we? We see here in our text Martha, a sincere believer by all accounts, and yet someone who allowed herself to be distracted, as do we, even with the visible Jesus right there in front of her. How could Martha actually be more interested in getting dinner ready than acquiring the pure milk of the word? How can students actually talk and fidget and joke and poke each other when God's word is being spoken from this pulpit? How can teachers actually allow their minds to drift to the content of next period's classes than to the content of the address before them? These things happen because we have a sinful flesh, which leads us to forget who it is to whom we are listening. As you sang on Wednesday, God himself is present. Let us now adore him and with awe appear before him. God is in his temple. All within, keep silence. Prostrate lie with deepest reverence. Jesus does stand before us and instructs us through his faithful ministers who bring us his word. That doesn't mean that every single syllable spoken from this podium will be flawless. We're human beings and our tongues get twisted and we can turn around terms. But insofar as our chapel addresses or church sermons are true expressions of God's word, God wants us to listen to them as if Christ were visibly present speaking to us in that manner. In this very same chapter of Luke, Jesus tells his disciples, "Whoever hears you, hears me. And whoever despises you, despises me. And whoever despises me, despises him that sent me." Allow ourselves to be distracted by the person sitting next to us, or be attentive to the Lord who is here to instruct us. Allow our minds to wander off to temporal cares, or fix our ears on the words of eternal life. Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Found in the message of chapel addresses and church services is the Word of God. And found in the Word of God is life, light, health, and wealth. May the Spirit enable us to be more Mary-like in the level of our interest in the Word of life. Hymn 2, stanzas 2, 3, 4, and 6. Hymn 2, stanzas 2, 3, 4, and 6.
What?